When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Hey, what's going on, No Bad Dog Army? Hope you guys are well, as always. Now, this is a great podcast. I think one of the better ones I've done in a bit, in my opinion. This is with a young dog owner who's always wanted a shepherd, that got a shepherd from the Amish for like $600. And this dog genetically is not sound. And this is just a good podcast for you guys to really understand the point of view of the dog owner, I think, is a fair way to say it, of like, this is what I want done, this is what I want changed, this is what I want to fix. And I have to make sure that I'm clear on, well, I understand that, but these are the things that are actually the problem here. And so this is just an excellent podcast to just kind of like be entertained by, and to also go through and listen and understand that, hey, listen, I know what you want, I know what your goals are, but these are the things that you actually have to start working on. And it's not as simple as like, let's turn this off, let's stop this. So it's a great podcast. And as always, I'll be answering three of your dog training questions at the end of the podcast. And as you guys know, I'll be on tour this fall, which is really exciting. You can get the links in the tip, get the links. Wow. You get the tickets in the link below. And I'd really love to get out there and meet some of you guys and hang out with you and, you know, answer questions. I think we have working spots left in Texas and Florida, maybe. Everywhere else is sold out. So I'm really excited. And just remember, when we're on tour, we're going to be doing meet and greets every night in every city that we're doing. So even if you didn't get tickets and it was sold out or whatever, you could still come hang out and meet with us. So anyway, I'm excited about that. Make sure you listen to the end of the podcast. I'll be answering three of your dog training questions, and we'll talk to you at the end. Hey guys, really quick. There's something going on with like my card in my podcast reader thing, my mixer. And for some reason, sometimes it'll like write error. So it'll stop and pause. So if at any point in this podcast or any other podcast, you might just hear something just skip and it won't maybe make sense. And to be honest, I don't have enough time to go through the whole podcast again and find those little spots. So I apologize in the future if all of a sudden I'm talking and then boop, it just goes to like another part. But this is such a good podcast that I had to put it out immediately. I just wanted to let you know that might happen in this. So sorry if it does.
But whenever I joined the military, I always wanted a German Shepherd. And I did board and train with them probably when he was 8 months or so old.
Okay.
7-8 months. It was an obedience training here in Delaware. I'm stationed here in Delaware. And what was it? He was fine. He never would bite anyone, never bite the trainer. He would act like he would do something, bark and stuff and everything at someone, but he would never bite anyone. He was, you know, never had to worry about that issue. Once he got to know someone, he was always really good with them.
Okay.
So the trainer, he gave him, you know, like I have him on this right now, the Doctra collar thing.
Okay.
And it's lasted a really good while, so I use that. I've kind of gone away from the shocking. He told me to shock him a lot at like 50, 60 because he was just very energy. I don't know. And my wife doesn't like it. But, nice. You know, I did it anyways because I did it, and he would tell me to use the continuous and then the actual, this one, and then like the whining because he whines a lot. Use a pager for that. I don't really use the shock anymore, mainly just a pager, and I'll put it like a 40 now, I don't know, and then do the shock, maybe a tap it, or okay. Barking, like just barking.
So I got you. So let's back up just a little bit. So 2-year-old German Shepherd. You've done some obedience training with the remote collar with another training camp.
Yes, sir.
And so what's your biggest problem right now? I know that you said that he's getting kind of resources. Go ahead.
I just really want him to get better around people and also like just get rid of that biting and growling. Like he'll his heckles or whatever, the back hair will just stand up and he'll get very protective. And like we tried going home on vacation. I think it was like 2 months after I got back from deployment. I tried working with him, healing and stuff. He heals fine most of the time, especially he'll heal really good after I take him to the park and let him run around for a while. And then he's really good at it. But I tried taking him home at my grandparents, you know, they're older and family.
Yeah.
And he's really good with my grandpa. I don't know why. He did knock him down and he had to go to the ER whenever I was our first time home when I got him. It wasn't, he got excited and he was like running around the driveway and accidentally knocked him down, which he didn't mean to, but yeah. Right. But the second time, so anyone that walks down the hallway, like comes down a door, he'll dart at him. Like he'll dart, barking, growling, heckle standing up. He'll sniff, he'll be okay. But he'll just do that constantly. And he's always guarding something. Like he's always like protective mode. And then, because before I deployed, he was always fine. He would do that, but he never would actually bite. But then all of a sudden one day my aunt came over and they're scared of him. You know, they don't want to be around him. And I had him outside and he was playing fetch. And then he just started, as soon as she opened the back door to come outside, he darted at the door at her. And then so I went and grabbed I put his prong collar on and his leash. And I was like, oh, you come out. He should be fine. You know, I have him. And she came out and he did the barking. And I popped him with the collar a little bit and kind of walked away from her. And then he stopped barking and he was fine. And so I was like, okay. Well, maybe he just needs to sniff you or whatever and it'd be okay. So I brought him up to the porch where she was. And I was like, you know, he's doing fine. He ain't doing nothing. And as soon as I get up there close, he lunged at her, grabbed her by the leg and started like shaking his head at her. And for like a couple seconds, and I was able to pull him off. I put him in the kennel. But, you know, it's like he doesn't like know he's doing anything wrong. So he's just like, I don't know. I just don't know. I just want to get rid of all that. Is there anything I can do or whatever? So,
okay.
What are you doing right now?
Is he fixed?
Yes, sir. I got him fixed right when I got back, right before I took him home. So, beginning of this year, I got him fixed.
Okay.
So he was just a little over 2 years old.
Okay.
And the vet, so that was another thing. So, I took him to the vet. He didn't have problems before because he was a littler puppy, so he was younger. He would bark and stuff, but he wouldn't really do anything. I took him to the vet. I put his muzzle on him. Now I have to, and put him. They weighed him. The nurses, he was fine. He didn't bark or growl at anyone then. Mm-hmm. But so we went in the room, and then as soon as the vet walks in, then he starts lunging and growling and barking and trying to like snap at people. And so, for them to even do anything to check them, they have to give them that, I don't know if it's anesthesia, some kind of shots they have to give them to put them to sleep kind of.
Yeah.
And then they can start doing stuff. And then when I went to get them fixed, it took them like 3 shots, the maximum amount of shots they could give them, I think, just to get them to sleep finally. So like, or he wasn't even asleep. He was like drunk basically.
Yeah.
Like it took him, he's just very high drive kind of, I don't know. He just.
Yeah. So I think a lot of this is going to come down to the way that you're handling him.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say exactly why these things are happening. It could be genetics. It could be lack of handling. Could be lack of consistency. Could be lack of training. Could be improper tool usage. It could be anxiety. It could be so many things.
But I think you have like all of it.
Yeah. Could exactly. Yeah. Could be. Excuse me. Could be all those things. So I think the number one thing you need to actually, there's two really big things. It's just being able to handle him and control him a lot calmer and being able to really teach him, you know, how to behave. And then the other thing is because he has this behavior going on right now, I think that you should be focusing a lot on management, to guest management too. Like, so just making sure that your obedience is good and he's listening and you're being calm when you handle him, but you're also not putting him into situations, or you're putting your friends and family or the public into situations that could ultimately end up, being bad. So when you're handling him right now, it sounds like you have the e-collar, the prong collar. So there's not going to be a way to just get rid of all of that. It's going to be a continual, hey, I want to, it's like somebody who's unhealthy that wants to be healthy, right? It's not like
talking like on the phone, you know, he's
chilling. Yeah.
He's got a toy. So he's good most of the time around us, you know, but he does have those moments where he does that stuff. I don't know. Walking is fine. I don't know.
Okay, so let's try to break down and really clarify the problem. So it would be reacting to other people when they're around. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's where, yes, you know, there's a couple different things. There's obedience that goes into that. There's avoidance that goes into that, and there's guest management that goes into that. So there's a lot of different avenues that you can go down, and it might be a combination of all three, but. If you're having people over and you know that they're coming over, my point is if he doesn't like other people, you're not going to be able to change that. But if he's having a hard time to just figure out what to do and how to do things, then that's where you can kind of grab the wheels of the car and be able to navigate through that situation. So how is your obedience with him? I mean, I know that you said he's okay out on a walk and stuff, but when you ask him to do stuff, is he pretty responsive? Is he quick, or is he not really?
It goes off and on. Like sometimes, like he'll be really like. But if he has like if there's something like he's distracted by or whatever, then it's pretty hard. But you know, like if it's just us, I can tell him to sit, stay, do whatever. He'll usually do it most of the time.
Okay,
staying for long periods of time. Hard time doing. He'll stay there but then he gets very energetic and just wants to go do something. He's like, oh, and he just gets up after like a couple minutes and was like, nope, go lay down. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah, I think so. Practicing your obedience throughout the day, making sure that when you're with him and you're working with him, it's important that you're working on things that are going to help you in reality. So if you're having people over and he has a hard time with people, or it's too much stimulation or whatever the case is, like you have to think about the obedience cues and the obedience things that you want him, how you want him to behave. So
he'll just bark and everything. I put him in the kennel, and I have done that, like put him in the kennel around people. I'll put the collar on him, use the vibrate, like the pager or something, and sit there and until he stops. But he'll just sit there and bark and bark and growl. And he'll like just wants to just bark at him. You know, he won't want to stop. I have to put him in another room in a kennel or something. So, because like I tried introducing people to him through the kennel. And then one time he was real fine. And then I was like, okay, I told my little sister, I was like, all right, he's fine. You know, put him in the kennel. And he was barked and he stopped. And then, okay, I was like, oh, go get a treat. Maybe treat him through the kennel, you know?
Yeah.
And then as soon as she put it up there, he was fine. And then as soon as she did that, he barked at her or whatever, you know, and stuff like that. She got scared. They always go hide from him now. You know, I'm just afraid he's going to bite the wrong person and they're going to want to put him down or something, you know, and he just doesn't seem like the super bad dog, you know, sometimes. And then like, he just has those moments where he just snaps. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's hard for me to really decipher exactly why that's happening. You know, and just because there's a lot of variables going in there. So, you know, cause if you're using the e-collar, like I never use the e-collar as a correction, unless it's something that I have to, like if it's intervention or, especially the levels that you're using. So that's like, I think that's a whole other conversation, to be honest. I mean, using that e-collar.
He told me I needed to use it up higher because, he wasn't listening with the lower levels. So I don't know. And he told me I needed like insert dominance. I don't know. And all this other stuff. He's like, I think he said sometimes you might have to like pick them up and like throw them on the ground or something like that. I never did that, or grab them by the back of the collar and pick them, lift them up, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. What else? I don't know if he was, more of an obedience trainer. I don't know if he did any of that, but he never, I don't know. Kyle would listen to him sometimes, you know, he got to where, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. You just have to be, I wouldn't, you know, necessarily, you know, and everyone has their own way of training, but that's not my way and experience. Maybe that gentleman is very successful in doing that with some people, but to me that creates more tension, it creates more frustration. It's dangerous, frankly. And a lot of times it's not fair for the dog. And so you can do that if you want, but I just wouldn't suggest it. Like if you're using a level 50 on a remote collar on a dog, that's significant. That's very high. And it should really only be done in a life or death situation, in my opinion, with,
way higher.
Yeah. Yeah. So that could be causing a lot of the conditioning that's going. What's that?
I said, yeah, my wife thinks it was a trainer, and the reason, cause he was never like this, biting at everyone and everything until later afterwards. And was using the collar and stuff. Cause he was shake, he'll get scared. I don't know. Like he'll have anxiety problems and all this other stuff. He tried getting him medicine, you know, the vet did, I don't know, but you know, he'll freak out about stuff. You know, the vet said he just has obedience problems. The vet one did, but you know,
I don't think it's an obedience thing. I think what you're dealing with right here is a lot of just poor handling, poor training, and a dog that's confused, to be honest. So what I would do is I would kind of step away from using the e-collar like that, because it can make him more anxious. And if somebody comes into the house and then he's suspicious of that person instinctually as a dog and as a German Shepherd, and he reacts a little bit, and then you nail him at like a 50 or 60, then the e-collar really is going to play a role in how he acts, because it could make things a lot worse if you don't use that.
I actually have a story about that, actually. The first time I took him home, even second sometimes, so I would put the collar on him. Mm-hmm. He ran into the house, and my little sister and them was all in there, and I didn't know what he's going to do. And he ran towards them barking. And I used the call. As soon as he got up there, he didn't bite at him, but I used the collar, you know, whatever, 50, 60, and shocked him. And he snapped his head back and grabbed my sister's pants.
Yeah.
You know, and he like, you know, and I don't know if he did it. I think it was like from a reaction from the shocking. And then my mom doesn't like it either, because he did that before with her. The same thing, basically. I shocked him. It was like he thought that she was hurting him or something. I don't know. Snapped at her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. So like I said before, I wouldn't be using that e-collar like that, because I think that that's probably adding to what's going on. I think it's making a stressful situation even more stressful. So I just wouldn't do that anymore. I would just kind of shelf the e-collar, because it doesn't sound like it's beneficial for you guys right now. I would really get back down to the basics on developing a better relationship and understanding with the dog, with communication and training. So I would get back down to the basics on the leash and going out and bringing him for walks and bringing him to different places and working on obedience. Because what you said earlier about him only responding if there's not much going on makes a lot of sense. That's just a typical, basically my dog understands basic obedience, but not advanced obedience. And it sounds like you're putting him into advanced obedience situations and expecting him to overachieve. And it's obviously not going to be realistic or fair. And that's something that you have to really work on, is getting back down to keeping him on a leash and going over the things that are going to make him successful privately. And then that way, when you're introducing the obedience to him that you've been working on, it's going to be helpful when you have people over.
So yeah, he never would ever, like, I guess he would never bite me, you know, or anything, never. And then after I got back from deployment, then he did it. There was one time we were playing, me and my wife was throwing a baseball around, just playing catch, and he was just running around doing another thing, but then he wanted the ball. And then we were throwing it, and he kept on going, like, at the ball. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, yeah, he bit me in my thigh because of it, and he wanted the ball. And I used the collar on that, I think. I think I swatted at him or something, because all I had was a glove in my hand. Yeah, I didn't have the collar. All I had was my glove in my hand. I swatted at him, mm-hmm. but and lay down to stay. Cause, yeah, and then another time we were laying on the couch, and sometimes he only gets here up here. With her, he gets up here all the time. With me, he doesn't really get up here unless I tell him to. And then so he wanted to get up. I let him up. He's laying down, and I was like messing with him. I was just trying to mess with him and lay over on him. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, he just randomly snapped and bit me on my face. And that one, luckily, it didn't bleed or nothing, just bruised. But yeah, he did that.
Yeah, so
just randomly. Like, he was just fine, and then just all of a sudden just randomly just snapped.
Right.
And I'm like, oh.
Well, I think, like I said, you know, it's not, I don't think it's that important to talk about, you know, a lot of the things that he, I just think like your relationship is totally off, and he's been introduced to certain training unfairly, and it's making him unpredictable. It's making him anxious. It's making him.
Yeah. I like for her to be able to put the collar and stuff on him and walk him and stuff. You know, right now I'm the only one that can do it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I understand. I would just, like I said, I would kind of get back down to the basics. And when you say putting the collar on him, what collar are you talking about?
It's the, I have that Doctra e-collar thing, whatever.
Right. Okay. So I would recommend, again, like not using the e-collar right now, because he's not properly trained on it, it doesn't seem. So he can kind of just like, that's something you should just take off the table. Because it's going to make him more upset. I think it's just being used in a very.
Right now, I started putting it on him because he was here lately, just like the past maybe month or month and a half. He usually goes in the kennel fine. He's really good in the kennel normally. And then all of a sudden, he's I tell him to go get in the kennel, and he wants to get in there, and then he'll stand up. He doesn't want to lay. I'll tell him to lay down. He'll start whining, barking, everything. And as soon as we walk out of the house, we'll hear him barking like crazy. So that's why I put the collar on him. And then as soon as he barked, I would hit the, you know, shocker, the pager. And trying to get him the whining, I'll just page him, trying to get him to calm down. I don't know why he started doing that lately, but now he's doing that every single time.
Right.
Sometimes, like, I'll tell him to go get in the kennel. He'll go lay on his bed instead. Right. And he doesn't want to go. Get in the kennel, and he doesn't want to get up.
Yeah.
And he'll start putting his heckles up. Ground.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I you know, kind of going back down to what I was saying, is I think you guys, I wouldn't use the e-collar. He's been poorly trained on the remote collar, which is making him anxious. So I wouldn't worry about that. And I would again, what you have to do is you have to do a behavioral reset, and you have to spend more time with him, teaching him fairly and communicating with him fairly to build confidence within you guys to build a better relationship. So that's really what you're struggling with. So again, it doesn't, all of the things that you're talking about, none of that's going to change unless you get back down to the basics and you start.
Take him up for work, walks more and stuff, because, you know, it's been kind of hard. We've been on 12s and stuff. I've been trying to do it as much as I can. So.
Right. Yeah. So those are things, like, again, like you'll have to, I would just suggest if you're going to use your prong collar, that's okay. If you want to use like a slip leash, that's also okay. But you have to get back down to, because
I was scared of choking on the slip leash.
Okay,
because he's really pulley sometimes. You know, I didn't want to choke him like that. I don't know.
Right,
weird.
But that's what I'm saying, is like you have to, if he's dragging six, to really train him what leash pressure is, what you know, what heel is, what place is, what stay is, and that's what I'm saying is right now.
Sounds like if you tell him to do something now. He'll growl at you, like, because he doesn't want to do it. Like, he knows what it is. He just doesn't want to do it. And so, like, I tell him, go get in the kennel. He'll go on his bed and just, like, lay down. He's done that a couple of times. He hasn't done it for a while, but he has done that a couple of times where he doesn't want to go in there. And now, you know, but when we get home, he's perfectly fine in the kennel. Like, he'll just be laying there all calm, just smiling at us and everything. He's fine. It's just to get him in it, and the leaving process is where he's been acting up. But when once he's in there, and once he gets settled down, he's fine usually. It's just that beginning process is annoying. Just to get him to understand, like, man, and I try treating him, but he won't eat it. He'll just drop it on the kennel. He won't eat it till I open it up. I don't know. He loves treats and toys. You know, he listens to all that. The toys, though, he gets very protective over them sometimes, especially new toys. Whenever it's a new toy, he really does. So, I don't know.
Yeah. So again, like my recommendation is to, you're going to have to, you need a reset. That's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. You have to reset everything. So you have to get back down to the basics. So your relationship with him is what's causing all of this behavioral conflict, right?
Okay.
So that's why he's doing the things that he's doing, you know, with the growl. He's growling at you because he can, because you're not training with him.
Like, yes, sir.
He's being pushy because, you know, you're not you're not training him. So think about your relationship with him and how we would train. So what we would want to do is we'd want to go out and we want to say heel. We'd want to say sit. We'd want to say stay. We want to say break. Basically meaning go to work, okay, and now break. So it's kind of like a lot. I talk about this a lot, but it's a lot like the military where it's very easy things, but it's very specific. Meaning like you have to wake up at a certain time. You have to show up. You have to wear the right things. You have to, there's just like, it's very like, hey, these aren't that hard, but you have to do it. And I think the discipline about it is the hardest part, is just being consistent and having the discipline. It's like, it's not really that hard to be on time. It's just, you got to do it consistently and it may not be as fun as you want it to be. So you have to just make sure that you're very disciplined and structured with him. And I know what you're saying when you're talking about, well, he's growling at my wife and he's going after people and he's doing all this random stuff. And those are all external things of, you know, it's kind of like just having a really old car. It's like, man, it's like, so think about like a 25-year-old car, you know, and it's like, oh man, the tires are making a weird noise. And then the trunk won't shut, and then the window is stuck down, and the engine is stuck. And it's not like, my point is the big picture here is it's an old car, right? So with you, it's like, oh, he's growling at my wife. He's growling because of this. He's going after my aunt. He's going, excitedly after my grandpa or whatever. It's all, the big picture here is your relationship with him. That's going to be the start and finish to being successful here. Is you have to get grounded with him and teach him what he can and can't do. You have to teach him boundaries. You have to reset things, like, right? So there's that. That's the biggest thing that you're working on right now. Is it's not going to be, there's no trick, there's no magic potion, there's no abracadabra, there's no like, hey, he's growling, oh, do this and it goes away. He's growling because of your relationship with him. Likely, right? There's nuances and subtleties in there of like, again, he's probably growling about the e-collar because it's sucked for him his whole life. There's nothing good about the e-collar with him, right? So like with me and the dogs that I work with and the clients that I work with, the e-collar represents the leash. So it's like when you get your leash out, your dog's jumping, getting excited to go out. That's what the equipment means to me. And the equipment isn't going to train your dog. The equipment is just going to assist you to train your dog. And like I said before, it just sounds to me as a professional in the way that I've been successful with dogs that the training that you've done with him and this other trainer is not appropriate for this dog. And to be honest, probably not appropriate for a lot of dogs or any dog, but that's not my place and it's not my, it doesn't matter about that. It's water under the bridge, you know?
Yeah. Whenever, going out for walks, he gets really excited. As soon as I tell, get the leash and everything and stuff, he'll start whining really loud and yipping or whatever. And he'll go to the door and he gets super excited, kind of doesn't want to listen. And if you tell him something, he wants to kind of bark at you. And so I'll pop him with the leash sometimes if I have to. And then I tell him wait, you know, he's good at waiting or staying or sometimes like that, like try to get him like, I've been working on that more. Like, don't go outside until I tell you, okay, you know, waiting. But, what would you say to do, like, to get him to where my wife can able to put a leash on, a collar on him or stuff like that without, you know.
Well, I think, I'm doing. Again, so think about, like, it's the same thing. It's like, I just feel like she doesn't have the relationship. Like he's maybe like pushing her. He's uncomfortable with her. He's taking advantage of her. And she's
after I deployed, she said that he was like, she had to shut him out of the bedroom because, he would go in there and he would be on the side of the bed and just growling at her, you know, and stuff like that. So, he was scaring her. And she was wanting to, you know, get rid of him when I was gone and stuff like that. And so she just, you know, shut him out of the bedroom at night when she was going to bed, you know. So because normally he just goes and lays at the end of the bed somewhere.
I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, I don't blame her for locking him out of the room. And it's a really weird behavior to do. I'm not sure why that's happening unless there's some sort of neurological problem or.
That's what the trainer said. And I took him to the vet and everything. You know, they didn't do any neurological stuff, but they said it didn't seem like there was anything medically wrong with them other than the, like, just obedience or whatever they said.
Yeah. Yeah, and that may be, that's definitely something that vets typically aren't going to be able to like look for, you know, and sometimes even vets who do CT scans and neurological things, I mean, it's really hard to figure out what's going on. And so you're not going to be able to go to like your normal vet, and, you know, because they may read blood work and say, no, it's fine. But you just have to realize that those are things that could be happening. But it's hard for me to say, because it's even hard for me to say when I have a dog in front of me, because nobody really knows like what's a neurological issue on the outside other than the behavior they're exhibiting. But to me, it could be more of an opportunistic bad relationship thing, because if he doesn't do that with anybody other than, you know, your wife, then he's selecting who he's doing it to. Now, if he was doing it to both of you, that would be a different story.
I'm reasoning so, he's real good at my grandpa. I don't understand. Like he'll go there and he won't ever do anything to him, really. And it's weird. And mom and them's like, maybe he's just a man's dog. I don't know. And like he'll just go there and lay next to this recliner while he's watching sports or something. Just go lay there by him and play with his toys all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And he's fine. It's just when someone walks in the hallway, someone else, and he darts at him, starts barking. Yeah. Until he finally, you know, sees him, and then he calms down after that. But he just constantly does it and does it. You know, I thought about putting the leash on him and letting him lay there and have someone walk down and just, you know, give him a pop when he does it. I thought about doing that. Do that until he finally gets the hint. I don't know. I was also, what's the, for training, what would you prices for like maybe just a, like a one time, like, train just to look at them, kind of maybe do a session?
Well, I don't really do that, so it'd be hard for me to answer that, because I just don't do it. I right now the only thing that I do for training is this consulting service, the out-of-state program, and then I also do like you know, personalized training where people will fly me to certain places. And but again, like this is, you know, I think that you're too stuck on these external things, because we've been, you know, we've been going back and forth on similar things, and it's like everything that you're saying is the same thing. Every single thing that you've said is the same thing. So you have to really listen to what I'm saying here. Is like when you're all of these external things of him being okay with grandpa and okay with this, and you know, all of these things like come back. There's no training that's going to be involved with like, oh, you just do this type of training and then all of a sudden he's better. Like that's not going to happen. This is a long-term thing of, again, I'll put it in a different way. It's like, if you wanted to get into the best shape of your life, it's not, you call a trainer and you say, hey, I've seen you do this 100 times. How do I get to the best shape of my life? And I say, well, here's the guidelines that you have to do, and you know, it's going to take you about 6 months to get to the point where you're feeling good. And if you don't follow those guidelines, so my point is it's not a one stop shop. It's a very multifaceted, multi-layered, long term thing that you need to get back down to the basics with him.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put him on the leash, and you have to have a routine, and you have to start teaching him that you are ultimately in charge of certain things within fair reason. So you put him on the leash and you start working on heel, and you start working on leash pressure, and you start working on boundaries consistently with him. So you'll get him, like you said, like you're starting to do a little bit. As you get him to the front door, you stop, you ask him to sit, and you work on that sit until you release him. And then you release him through with a break command, and then you come back in, and then you ask him to sit, and you do that again, and you keep making him understand that you are the one that ultimately is going to guide him. And within that sit and stay, you may switch to a place behind him, or you may switch to a heel and you walk away, but you want him to be hanging on every word that you say when you're in training mode. And right now he's probably just looking around trying to find something else to do. So you got to reconnect with him on that level, because it doesn't matter how aggressive it is and how many people he's biting and how many grandpas he's knocking over. If you can't communicate with him on any level, then you're not going to be able to be successful with him at any point in time.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Hopefully I guess I'll start that, you know, go back to normal, because I'd like to get home, because this coming year I'm going to be getting out and I'm going to go home, and I'm gonna have to stay with my grandparents for a little while till we get us a place of our own and back home in Texas. And so hopefully we get them, taken care of. Hopefully, I don't know. But yeah, he was just over there. He put a hole in his bed and he's over here eating the mattress stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Leave it for a second.
Yeah. So I think it's one thing I was gonna say is, after you start getting into a routine, like you have to, so every dog that I work with is a project. Okay. So if I get a dog in personally, that's like, I just took a friend's dog in a couple weeks ago and they were like, hey, she's kind of getting resource guarding. She's not really listening on walks. This is exactly up your alley. Okay. So I want to explain to you what I did with this dog in my own home, which I've never done, by the way. I've never taken in a dog in my own home and worked it. This was just an easy circumstance because I knew that the dog internally was okay, and she's a small dog, so it makes my life easier. And I only have one dog right now. So anyway, my point is, the dog had some resource guarding issues. The dog wasn't responsive on the leash. The dog would be dragging. The dog wasn't engaged. The dog was just living this life of like, I do what I want when I want. And now we're starting to see some unfortunate bad behaviors from it. And bad behaviors is, getting kind of pushy and growly and this is mine, not yours, and things like that, right? So my point is what I did with this dog is I did a lot of obedience. I did a lot of routines. I did a lot of structure. I did 5 to 10 minute sessions. I broke the dog. I did 5 to 10 minute sessions. I broke the dog. But I diversified everything so the dog was responsive to me. Now, ultimately, what that did with the dog is she understood that I am in charge. And not in the way that you were saying the other guy, the other trainer that you used was of like, I'm alpha, I'm dominant, I'm going to push you around and make you do things. It was more like, I want you to look at me for guidance, like a good manager, like a good parent, or like a good friend. Hey man, I'm having a hard time with this. Can you help me out? I need you for direction. You've been through this. You're experienced with this. You know what you're doing. And so what I did with this dog is I went out and I worked on the place command on a cardboard box. I worked on the crate command. I worked on the heel command. I worked on the down command. But I did all of these in little increments, 5 minute sessions. I'd say place, good place. Heel, crate, good crate. Come, down, and I would good crate, good down, good heel, break. And I would diversify everything. But that wouldn't work if she didn't know those behaviors. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that your dog at this point probably doesn't know those behaviors well enough to do them consistently. So you just pick like 4 things. Say it's the bed, it's the sit, it's the stay, and maybe like the break or something. You can add another thing in. But you need to – so basically what you're going to go out is you're going to practice. And you're practicing the obedience. But the bigger goal is you're getting stronger. You guys are getting stronger, right? You're getting stronger. Your relationship is getting clearer. You're like, hey, this is what you have to do. And what will happen is as you're doing obedience. So how does obedience help with your long-term, relationship, right? So obedience helps with your long-term relationship like this. So we're going to go place, sit, stay. So we got a cot, which is place. We have a sit, which is sit. We have a stay, which is a stay. So we get a dog on a leash. We say, hey, buddy, go to your place. The dog goes to the place. And now the dog is like, yeah, you know what? Rather I'm 10 seconds in and I'm out of here, or there's somebody outside, or there's a ruffle of a chip bag or whatever it is. It's like, hey, I'm out of here. And then you stop that dog with so it's compulsion because you're making this dog do something they don't want to do against their will. They're like, hey, I'm out of here. And I'm like, oh, stop. So I use the leash. So typically I'm using 3 points of pressure. My body, I'm walking towards the dog. My leash, I'm stopping the dog with my leash. And sometimes I'll use my voice. Ah, ah, ah. Right. So usually it's all 3 at the same time. So what that does is it strengthens your stay, but ultimately it tells the dog that you can't just dismiss yourself on your own terms. You can't just make a decision and say, hey, this is what I want to do. Because that's why your dog is like, ooh, grandpa, I love you. Boom, jumped on grandpa. Grandpa falls over. Grandpa goes to the ER. Your aunt comes in. I don't know your aunt. I don't like your aunt. I come running over. I bite you. All of these things are on what the dog wants to do. It's all the dog's, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it. And you have to start shaping this dog to say, you can't just make those decisions. So that's what that's what I'm trying to say to you is, like, I understand the external problems you're having with the, you know, literally everything. But furthermore, in getting a little bit more granular, is if you don't have a relationship with a dog that you can turn on and turn off, like, hey, do this. Okay, now you can break. Hey, do this. Now you can break. And that's really where people fail with their dogs on a big scale, huge scale, is if you have a dog that will do five things really well, when you tell them to do it, no matter what the circumstances are, you and your dog will live a very happy, healthy, mentally stable life, because there's no confusion. And just like with parents, like being a kid, you know, when you have mom and dad or whatever, or being a good boss, right? You say, hey, you know better than this. You know, this is what it needs you to do. This is, you know, and you're trying to teach them and kind of keep them in the lane of what's right and what's wrong through operant conditioning of, like, this is okay, this isn't okay, things like that. And that's what I'm saying is I feel like personally, there's a lot that's going into the problems that you're seeing. I think it's genetics. I think it's poor training in the beginning, unfortunately. I think it's just confusion. Excuse me. But I ultimately think it's also you trying to put out the fire's over here, right? And you're over here with an extinguisher. You're like, you're on the right spot here. In order, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, at a big scale, okay? At a big scale, you have to realize that the reason why your dog is doing these things, like growling and jumping and doing all these, like, external things that you're having a problem with, the reasons why you signed up for this call is because of the micro of getting back down to, all right, I want to be an athlete. Well, you're not just going to be an athlete. You got to start off with walking a mile, running a mile, running 2 miles, you know, getting into shape, doing push-ups. It's not just going to happen overnight. There's little things that you have to do across the board in order to build that up.
Yes, sir. You know, the trainer thought, you know, I shouldn't have got him from the breeder I did. I got him there in Pennsylvania. I was just really wanting a German Shepherd. I saw those breeders. It was I didn't realize, turned out they're Amish breeders.
Yep.
And it was $650, I think, for him. And I was like, oh, that's a good deal, $600 and everything else. And he's like, you know, he's like, told me, he's like, sometimes you just got to go and, you know, spend, you know, $1,000, $2,000 for a really good dog. And make sure when you do that, you're looking at the parents of them. Mm-hmm. You know, how they are, ask these questions. I didn't do any of that. I just gave them the money. You know, I picked out the dog I wanted and took him home, and I didn't think nothing of it, you know? But I don't know, like, there was another couple here on base. They got the dog from the Amish breeder, the same one. And that dog was calm, and the trainer worked with them, that dog too, and he was calm. And then my dog was just super, he said, just had a lot of excess energy that just did not need to be there.
That's what I mean, is it's a mixture of what's going on. I think genetics are definitely a role.
Can you train, you know, is that hard? Is that, I mean, is that impossible to, like, genetics, you know?
Yes.
Like,
yes, you can't do anything about that. And let me help you understand. That means if you're born, and you're an adult man and you're 5'6", right? That, you know, and if you're like, man, I really want to be like 7'4", I really want to work to get 7'4", that's not going to happen. You know, your genetics aren't going to change that, unfortunately, right?
Sir.
So think about it like that, that genetics are, and like you said, you know, and I'm trying to, like, play devil's advocate here, is I want you to look at the glass half full and not worry so much about, like, you know, yeah, it sucks. That's why the Amish are there, is because they breed, you know, German Shepherd mixes that people like yourself, you know, young adults would look forward to having, and you know, it is what it is. And you might get, and the thing is
like, from it,
yeah, right. You learn something, right? And the thing is you know, it's not always, like, consistent. You know, we've seen a lot of the German Shepherds come out of those camps in Pennsylvania, because we're pretty close there. you know, mm-hmm. by pretty close, I mean 5, 6, 7 hours, whatever, less than 10 hours, which is a normal.
I think y'all, I was like 6 hour drive or so.
Yeah. Our average clients are 10 hours. Our average clients are 10 hours from us. So anyway, so my point is we see a lot of them too. And we see the genetics that's going on. And usually they're timid of men and they're not socialized and they're just all over the place. But again, we can't change that. We can't make you 7'4". So let's talk about the things we can do. And again, one thing that we haven't really talked about is exercise, both mentally and physically. And so it doesn't matter, you know, how good of a trainer you are or how good the genetics of dog you have in front of you. Dogs like this, all dogs really, need a really great outlet. They need something that allows you to outlet the dog, to say, hey, I want you to work. I want you to have a mental stimulation. I don't want you to live in the house or live in the home and not do anything. So that's the other thing too is again, it's like, oh, I want to be in the best shape of my life. And you only want to eat good. It's like, okay, that's going to help, right? Right? Like your training is going to help, right? But it's like, I don't want to exercise. I don't want to do cardio, you know? And no, it's like, I don't want to say nobody, but a lot of people don't like cardio. But so my point is you have to balance it out. This dog needs mental stimulation with training and structure and boundaries and guidelines. And again, like, rails to keep him, yes and no, yes and no, okay, and my terms break. And he also needs a physical exercise as well. So that's where your break comes in, your ball, your tug, your frisbee, your hikes, your runs, your walks. But it's a mixture.
Yeah, I tried the tug toy, you know, because, you know, and after a little bit, he'll just start growling, you know, because he wants it. And so that's why I use the collar and vibrate him. Like, I tell him, drop it, you know. He should, you know, and if he doesn't drop it, I'll page him for that and stuff like that. Another thing, so like, should I mix in like training stuff like that with my wife? Like, let's both do it, yes. Or should I start off doing it myself, you know? And then,
yes, well, both. So you need to, right now, you need to, because you have the, he's the friendliest with you, we'll say. So you need to start, say, hey man, this is what place is. This is what it means. I'm serious about it. You can't just like lollygag and say, hey, I'm out of here. Hey, I don't want to do this. Hey, there's something better over here. I'm out. Peace. Like that stuff's not going to work. You have to make sure that you're teaching these boundaries and these things, and he'll look at you and he'll start to go. Like if you look at my videos on YouTube, some of the easiest things that we've done and accomplished and the breakthroughs that we've had is just holding the dog accountable. It's like they live their life with no accountability because people are like, yeah, we don't know how to hold our dog accountable. We don't want to correct our dog, you know, whatever. It's like, okay, but that's not going to work. You know, imagine just having a life where you have no job, you just live off the land and you're just doing whatever you want. There's no accountability. There's not, do whatever you want. It's like a fairy tale, you know, it's like it doesn't exist. That's not the way the world works. There's balances. So my point is you have to get back down to those balances with this dog and teach him boundaries and teach him structure, right from wrong on your terms every day, 5-minute sessions, 10-minute sessions throughout the day. And once you guys get a good relationship and once you guys are on the same page and he responds and he's starting to look at you and he starts to say, okay, I'm waiting for you. Can I go? You say, okay, break. And he's like, yep, I'm out. See, a lot of people don't have that engagement. The dog just does whatever they want and whatever. So once you can get that yourself, which may take you a week, may take you 2 weeks, may take you 3 days. That depends on how much you work on it. Then you can start saying, okay, wife, why don't you come out and watch what I'm doing? You have any questions? You have any concerns? And then you start transferring things over and then she starts to take the wheel. Because again, I think it's a little bit of genetics, but I also think it's very just opportunistic behavior, right? So if she's afraid of him, she doesn't really care for him at this point because he's mean to her or whatever, he's going to pick up on that. So he's going to walk in her room as she's sleeping in her bed and he's going to look at her. He's going to growl. He's going to say, I just want you to move. I just want you to react.
He hasn't done that since, you know, whenever she was here alone and I was gone, you know, then that's been, but he hasn't done it since I got back anyways, luckily. So
understood. Yeah. And that's
after, what, actually like after I left, like he was upset or something. Like he didn't know what happened to me. I don't know.
Well, I think, whatever leadership you do have with him or whatever consistency you do had with him, when you left, he didn't know what else to do, you know, because I think you're like on a scale of 1 to 100, you probably have the capacity with him on a structured level at like a 15%. It should be 100. And so when you mm-hmm. left, it went to 0. So he's like, now I got nobody. I don't know what to do. I don't know who's in charge. I don't know who's going to make my dinner. I don't know who's going to bring me for walks. I don't know who I'm going to look at to play with. I don't know what's going on, right? Because your wife may be busy and timid and whatever. It doesn't matter. My point is, you know, we can talk all day about why that happened or why it's happening. And it could be a mixture of things, could be a melting pot of things. But my point is the reason why it's happening likely at a bigger scale is because he just doesn't. He's got no accountability. He's got no structure. He's got no confidence. And that's the things you have to start building with him. So you need to go out and start working on that every day, 5 to 10 minute sessions as often as you can. And then what you want to do is you want to go out and then show your wife how to do it. And then she needs to start doing it, but she has to do it like you. And if she doesn't, then you're going to have to just make some decisions on, you know, what's going to be best for the dog. So if you go out, you say, okay, buddy, heel, sit down. Stay, good stay. Break, good. Okay, buddy, heel, good heel. Sit, good sit. Okay, break, right? If you're doing like that and then your wife gets the leash, okay, all right, sit. Then you might as well just, you're going to have to find a different home for the dog while you're away, or you're going to have to mm-hmm. board the dog because that's not going to work. Or you might just say, hey, your wife's going to have to play zookeeper and walk on eggshells for a little bit until you can fully spend time with this dog, because she's mm-hmm. just not going to be able to handle him. So that's what I mean is, like, once you get control, which right now you don't have the control that you need to be successful with a dog that is edgy, right? So like you said in the beginning of the conversation is he's great until boom, right? So with my dog Lakota, if you said, hey, will she listen to you? I'd say yes. What if I threw the ball? She'd want to go. It's compulsion. It's all compulsion training. She'd want to go, but I'm making her stay. And I'm not forcing her to stay with anything. She's just listening to me with my voice. Still compulsion. I'm still holding her against her will.
That stuff like a long leash. So, because I normally use the pager for that stuff. Like if he goes and doesn't listen, he goes off and I tell him to come, you know, back and he doesn't. You know, I use the pager for that. Should I just use like maybe a really long leash?
Yeah, but you could. But again. You have to realize like how well does he know recall? How well does he know stay? Like those are the things.
Comes, he'll just keep going. He'll like just keep going by me and just running, and then I'll tell him come, and he'll do it and come back, and he'll just like go by. And
well, that's what I mean is he doesn't really know like a traditional recall. He just knows to maybe come to you if you have something for him, and if not, he's out. So that's what I'm saying, man. Is I don't want you to miss the point of this conversation. Is you got to realize, like, you got a lot of work to do on the very principles, the very basics, right? It's like showing up to a job site that's getting ready to build a house, and you show up, you're like, yeah, can we get the gutters white, and can we get the shutters black, and can we put a cool little waterfall thing bathroom in the shower? And your contractor's looking at you, and you're like, man, we haven't even dug a hole yet. What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? So you really have to focus. This is what I'm saying is, you know, what we were just talking about is I was telling you the big picture and you're still focused on the little things, right? So let me explain. So when I was saying that my dog will stay until I release her without any equipment, without anything else, she'll just do it because she's listening to me and she'll come back when I tell her to. She's doing that because we've set boundaries. We have a relationship, a big macro relationship and understanding of each other that it's in her best interest to listen to me. I don't want her to get hit by a car. I don't want her to get attacked by a fox. I just don't want her to chase the ball because I don't want her to get wet again because it's wet outside, whatever it is. My point is no matter the little small things, the bigger picture is my dog will do whatever I want her to do because she trusts me to make the decision for her. If I say leave it, she's got to leave it. If I say down, she'll down. Doesn't matter if I'm in Manhattan, I'm in Colorado, I'm in Australia. It doesn't matter. She's going to listen. And then what you immediately went with is like, yeah, you know, when my dog does recall, he just runs right by me. I'm like, you're missing the picture. My point is that's your whole relationship is your dog won't do what you want him to do in general.
Start with the small stuff. Yeah, man. You work your way up to.
Yes. Please do that. You got to really think about what I'm saying is don't focus on those little individual things like where you're like, oh, my dog's growling. My dog's not coming back. My dog is jumping at my aunt. My dog is jumping. Those are all a product of one problem. It's because your dog is out of control at this point. your dog isn't responding to anybody, you got to put the dog back on a leash, and you have to get back down to the basics to really teach this dog what's appropriate and what's not, and then everything else will fall into place.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, I was going to mention one more thing, but I just thought I'd leave it alone because it might be another thing.
if it's another thing, a very granular thing of like, well, he also does this, then yeah, well, let's just focus on, okay, well, I because you know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that's because your dog won't listen to you in general. You know what I mean?
It just seems like a happy dog sometimes, you know, like most of the time, and then just has those moments, especially for other people, but like, you know, he just, you know, those little moments where he just snaps. I don't know.
Yeah, but, and again, I'm not...
Just something neuron.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not saying like if you have a poorly bred dog, right, with bad genetics, that's one default, right? But then if you have a poorly bred dog with bad genetics that doesn't listen to anybody, that's a completely other different. But that's something that you can control. Like again, like you can't control if you want to be 7'4". But you could still play. You could still be really good at basketball if you want to. But you're still not going to be 7'4". So my point is. Yeah, you might have a poorly genetically bred dog, right? You can't change that. But what you can change is accountability, your dog listening to you, setting your dog up for success. So when you have people over and you're like, hey, my dog really won't listen to me off leash, do not put your dog off leash. Put your dog in the other room, right? Or if you're like, hey, Aunt Karen's coming over at 4 and at 3:55 he's running around the apartment or whatever, and then she comes in early. Like, don't put yourself in those situations. So a lot of the things that you're working on can be preventable. They could be helped. And the genetics is just a small piece of it. And I work with a lot of dogs that genetically aren't really at default. They're just like super prey-driven dogs that shouldn't be in the home that they're in, right? So we get people coming in with border collies or Staffy Terriers, pit bull terriers, or even shepherds. They come in, they go, oh, you know, my border collie's nipping all the kids. That's not a problem. That's something you signed up for. You just don't know what you're doing. And this dog may not be the right fit for you. We're not going to be able to tell fish not to swim. We're not going to be able to grow 7'4" when we're 6 feet tall. But what I can say is your obedience needs to get better, because right now, again, you're focusing on something that's not going to change. It's like the border collie wants to go and herd things. We're not changing that, but your obedience isn't good. So you can't control it. So now you got to lose. So we may have a fearfully insecure, genetically unsound dog with little to no obedience. And that's the big problem. So you just got to get back down to the basics and really reset things, because the issue here is your relationship and your foundation with the dog. But if somebody were to run up to ask you, and that's what you got to look at this conversation, you're talking about, you know, you're kind of like mentioning, I want to get rid of this and this and this and this. That's not, that it's all coming from one place. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. I see.
Okay. All right, man. Well, do you have any other questions before I head out to my other session?
No, sir. I think I'm pretty good. I appreciate it though. Thank you a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome. Just watch some of my, watch the video I just put up with Tigger, the pit bull.
Okay.
Perfect example, right? This is a dog that wanted to fight me. This is a dog that did fight me. This is a dog that doesn't like me. This is a dog that tried to bite me. And this dog doesn't have to like me, doesn't have to, you know, whatever. It's same thing. Probably some genetics going on there. They worked with a trainer and a behaviorist that really just put them in the opposite direction of where they wanted to go. So I had to take the leash and say, and the dog kept coming after me, and I wasn't working on that coming after me thing. I was working on the owner, because it doesn't matter if I can get this dog to stop coming after me, because he doesn't like new people, and he told me that. My point is I spent an entire 3 days telling her. So she would get the dog, and she'd say, Tigger, sit, Tigger, sit, Tigger, sit, Tigger, sit. And the dog would look anxious and want to go after everybody. And so she came in. She's like, look, my dog is going after everybody. I'm like, your dog's going after everybody because you don't know what you're doing on that leash. I'd go back and look at that video that I did. Take a look. Check it out. And really look at like some handling errors that are going on that you could benefit from.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, brother. Stay safe. Thank you for your service. And just keep working hard. All right, you guys, you've reached the end of the podcast, and I have my son in my arms, so you may hear a little coo and a little binky sucking, but that's what you're going to hear, if anything. All right, buddy? Yeah. Anyway, three of your dog training questions. Let's see. Kai and Luna, 2020, five-star review. Kai thanks you. Hi, Tom. I cannot begin to thank you enough. Throughout my three-year journey with my reactive mini Aussie Kai, I have hired numerous positive-only trainers and spent loads of money, not only on trainers, but dog training courses as well. Until I found you, everything was unsuccessful. Not only the tools you use, but the way that you teach us how to use them has changed mine and my life dog forever. Wow. If that's not a life-changing review, I don't know what it is. Thank you. I knew there's more. I knew that my relationship, buddy, I'm trying to work here. I knew that my relationship with my boy could be amazing. He looked at me completely different now, literally like he's thanking me for finally finding a training way that works for him. I have watched all the videos and listened to all the podcasts and finally got an opportunity as a working spot when you come to Texas. I am beyond grateful to see you in November. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Daniel Kai. That's why I do what I do. That's exactly why I do what I do. I'm going to screenshot that and post it on Instagram. I love that. Love that. Love that for you guys. So happy for you. Haley and Rizzo, five-star review. Compliment and short update. Hi, Tom. I have a question for you, but I just wanted to give you some compliments on a small update in hopes that inspires and encourages other dog owners to be put in the work that needs. Listen, this is another one. This is great. 2 years ago, I was on a podcast titled My Young Dog Tries to Attack People on Walks. Rizzo is now 3 years old and has had made an insane amount of progress thanks to your videos and your online consulting service. And that's what you guys are listening to, by the way, my online consulting. It's a consultation, that audio form. I have learned so much about not only my dog and what works for him in handling, but this limits his boundaries as well. I have accepted that Rizzo does not like anybody he doesn't trust, and I definitely don't force him to trust anybody, but I expect him to receive obedience. I have a strict do not touch, do not talk, or look at my dog rule that really helps Rizzo. Since I got him as a puppy, he has not been able to trust anybody besides my immediate family and my grandmother. So I just accept that they're... This is how Rizzo is, and I'm okay with it. In the last September to now, Rizzo has come to trust two new people, which was a big win for us. Rizzo was in a position where we couldn't trust him around anyone on leash, even muzzled, where now we have been able to take the farmer's market muzzle-free, and we can walk off-leash heel at the river, passing some people and bikes. And we can off-leash heel at parks, passing soccer practices in front of dog parks, and more. With that being said, thank you for helping us reach our goals where I wanted to be with my dog, stress-free, worry-free, confident, and happy to take my dog anywhere as long as I'm managing my dog in the situations I can. I hope people never stop trying to better their dog because it's worth it and possible. That sounds scripted, man. That sounds like I wrote that to better myself. I'm not even kidding you. That is amazing. Thank you so much, Haley, for sharing this. And thank you so much, Kai, for sharing your story with Luna. I guess let's just keep this on a roll. If anybody else has life-changing stories, I'm going to start posting these on Instagram to share these stories with other people because this is amazing. This gives me so much hope and passion and ammunition and drive to continue to bust my butt for you guys. And so thank you so much. If anybody else has these stories, please share them with me in social media in some way, shape, or form. Let's get into another one. Mochi the GSD, my favorite podcast, period. Thank you so much for putting out the podcast and your YouTube content. I look forward to it every week and appreciate the compassion you have for dog owners. Even though you are the professional, you don't make your clients feel stupid or terrible people. I was especially interested in what you had to say in your latest podcast on euthanasia about working dogs and schedule and lifestyle they keep. My question for you is, what is your personal opinion on adult dogs in crates? I have a 2-year-old German Shepherd and she has been crate trained from a puppy. She's very happy and content in the crate and has a very structured life and regular walks and outdoor play. I work from home, so she has plenty of interaction with me during the day, but if I'm not actively watching her, I crate her because she gets into trash and she pulls things out with her mouth. I sometimes feel guilty about putting her into crate, and part of me wants to allow her to roam freely. And on the other hand, I am home with her all day and need a few hours myself, and crate works for me and my lifestyle. I also keep her in the crate at night. How much crate time is okay for a dog? I think, do you use a crate for Lakota at home? I use the place command more often than the crate because her place is good, and a lot of her overwhelming moments are momentary. So if somebody comes over and she's super excited, I will touch her, which is her crate, or her touch, or her place command, and I'll down her. We'll keep her there for a little bit. So that's that. The only time that she's in her crate is when she eats. We just have had a habit since she was a puppy. I get her food ready, and she runs into the crate, and she eats there, but I don't shut the door or anything. When we're traveling, it's a little different. I might put her in a crate, but I don't usually actually ever, but I would. I think if you're putting your dog into the crate because she's getting into things because you can't watch her, I think that that's fair. That's what the crate's for, kind of keeps her safe. The other thing alternatively that you might want to do if you feel bad is just use an X-Pen to kind of keep her into an area. So it's kind of like a crate, but also you have free range. And X-Pens you can get at Home Depot, or I'm sorry, X-Pens you can get at PetSmart and Petco and things like that. So I would say that that's fine, as long as you're, you know, that's what the crate's for, is to keep your dog out of trouble. So I think that makes sense. Anyway, all right, you guys, that's going to be it for me today. We got some more going coming up. What do you think, Banks? And I appreciate you guys listening so much. Again, let's hear your stories if you guys have some. I'd love to hear your success stories. It means, like I said, it means a lot to me. It gives me ammunition. It gives me more reason to continue to work hard. When I get a good review like that, you know, it just fires me up. So thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.